Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
But we can dish them out.
Everyone, this is our guest today. He Woo-hoo! Is fucking amazing. Like, everything you do is funny, whether you are just like fucking around on Instagram or doing like a musical medley comedy set. You're just so smart and brilliant. And thank you so much for being on our show. I could gush about you all day, but we're going to do that at the end, actually.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Well, I'm so far so good. I need you to talk to my family.
Fabulous. Give me their phone numbers. I will call them and explain everything.
Rave reviews.
And talk to the president of show business.
Got it. You know, I got their number. We'll do it. We'll make it happen for you. Well, we are going to ask you a ton of questions.
Great.
Not a ton, a few.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to pepper you with some nostalgic, career-driven, memory lane shit and see where your brain takes us on this journey today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds great.
I'm excited. Do you want to start, Miss Shannon?
Sure. So you are a bit of a rebel.
I am?
Oh, yes, sir. I appreciate the level of commitment that got you Twitter banned.
Oh, yeah.
What is the first rebellious act that you can recall?
I think probably the one that comes to mind, and now all of a sudden I went from saying I am a rebel to now I'm just like totally agreeing with you.
I have so many to choose from.
I've always been a rebel. But I would say the earliest thing that comes to mind is that when I was, I think, 8 years old, I grew up in a suburb of Cleveland called University Heights. Not an important detail to what I'm about to tell you, but when all the boys in school joined the Cub Scouts, I was like, fuck that. Because I was like, why would I join some bullshit that everyone's doing and putting on a fucking uniform to all look the same? I was just fully against it. And everyone in the grade was in the Cub Scouts, which is, I think, the youngest Boy Scouting thing. Or my friend Kevin and my friend John were the other two kids from my grade that lived on my block. So Kevin had all the... I'm not going to use their last names. Just
no, you're totally fine. There's always a Kevin, them. Though. That's a common thread in our podcast. Everybody's got a
Kevin.
We're
still friends, and he's a great guy. And this is the thing. John, Kevin, and I were like three best buddies. Though to be fair, their friendships were stronger and lasted. They're closer. Basically, I'm a rebel and I drifted. But Kevin had all the Cub Scouts over to his house, every Cub Scout in the grade, many of whom were my friends. And John and I went and stood at the edge of his yard and made fun of all of them, like taunted them. We were 8 years old. Kevin was our best friend, and there's 40 kids running around his yard in these uniforms, and we're mocking them, knowing fully that, knowing that they're our friends and we're going to see them tomorrow.
Not like, in uniform.
Yeah, but somehow the fact that they were all in uniform playing in Kevin's yard, we were just like, fuck all of you guys. And I think that's been my life in general.
Just little baby communists is all they were. It's totally fine.
That's what I think, you know? Right? I mean, I've always kind of been against...
organized douchery.
I'll organize anything, really.
I'm an organizer and a joiner.
Oh, no, no.
I got all the patches. No, it's fine. I would let you yell at me from the street.
No, no. I think I was just figuring things out, but I think, yeah, that would probably be my first act of rebellion where I was just like, oh, you guys are into that? Fuck that. just on the face of it, kind of maintained that through my life.
I mean, you can't help who you are. I mean, it's in your soul.
I can't help it.
Right.
I can't help it.
It's just the way you're made. Fuck Kevin. I'm just kidding. Fuck Kevin. You're cool, Kevin. Whatever.
No, he's a great guy. He was a great kid. Really, like, looking back on it, really puzzles me why we would have done that. Like, mocked our friends.
Let's unpack that. So, do you feel like your rebel spirit said, no, I'm not going to join that uniforms. You guys are all turds. And then maybe on the day of the event, you realize all your other friends were meeting up and you maybe felt a little left out. So you found a way to join them without joining them.
No, I think it was...
He's not falling for your psychotherapy. I love it.
I think honestly, it was just the former. I think it was just like, fuck this. And we need to let them know how much about lame we think it is.
Ditch the uniform. Let's play dodgeball, douchebags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't play unless we get a badge.
Right?
It has to be pre-approved.
The other thing I would say from around that same time is I was a huge Kiss fan.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a fan of Kiss from the classic era. I think, you know, few bands have destroyed their legacy more than Kiss.
It's the reality shows for me.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, that's sort of, I think most bands, when you hang around that long, you're eventually going to just ruin the whole thing.
I mean, look at Rock of Love. Let's be real.
Rock of Love.
I'm telling you.
Is Rock of Love, that's the Bret Michaels one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he destroyed that entire band's legacy with one show.
I don't know. I would say there was nothing to destroy.
By valid. The TV show was the redemption.
I say that as a fan on some level of Poison. I think, like, if you want Poison, they are the best at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Poison on their first tour for their first album, Look What the Cat Dragged In, opening for Rat.
Wow. Love me some Rat.
On the Invasion of Your Privacy tour. And I remember just being like, what is this Poison? They were so bad but great, I thought. And like, really, if you listen to that record and then like Green Day Dookie, it's really the same cake with different frosting. they're doing essentially delightful. The same thing.
I love that.
I digressed completely. I remember seeing Gene Simmons, you know, like there was, it was called PM Magazine, was like the sort of like the show that came on after the news that was like human interests and celebrities and things. They interviewed Gene Simmons, and this is, would have still been like when he was still wearing makeup and things. And I remember being a little kid and he was like, be weird. Don't try to fit in with everyone else. Just be yourself. And I remember being however old, you know, 6, 7, and just being like, got it. All right.
Noted, bro.
Yeah. And truly, like, as much of I think that guy's done a lot of stupid stuff since then, I am super grateful because I was like, oh, okay. Well, this guy that I worship in this band that I worship says that I don't have to worry about fitting in with anyone else. So I never really cared ever since.
I love
since.
That. Of all the people to get your sage advice from, I think Gene Simmons is top notch.
It's amazing. Like, good. A journalist was interviewing him and for whatever reason decided to reach out to me and was like, hey, do you have any questions you want me to ask Gene Simmons? I said, I don't have any questions, but you can thank him for that from me.
Aww.
Oh my God.
And it's in the article.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So Gene Simmons got to know that he touched your life.
He really did, you know?
That's so
I
good.
I mean, ultimately, I probably come out like 55% pro Gene Simmons if I really had to boil it all down.
It's still in his favorite counts.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, you're amazing. And
never
I,
be sorry.
Oh, I mean, I feel that way about everything just to some extent. I mean, I'll go get coffee in the morning and I'll walk out and be like, oh man, I blew that. They must think I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, so on that note though, like, you get cast for a lot of stuff. Like, you were on Kimmy Schmidt. Like, you've done a bunch of well-known things. Are you on set and they're like, action, and you get done and you're like, okay, do you guys just want me to leave? You're going to cut this? Am I fired? That was awful.
I'm trying to be better about not doing that, because first of all, you're being very kind. I don't act nearly as, again, this is something for the president of show business, I don't act nearly as much as I would like to. If anyone's listening and thinking of casting me in there,
you know, one of our four listeners is definitely in the top high casting role, I'm sure. So we are good. Yeah,
we're
definitely
up to six,
right?
Oh, perfect.
Hey, so, mom.
Yeah, no shit.
But I think early on in my storied acting career, I would, as much as I could, like, go to the director, like, be sure it's okay. You want to do more? Do it different? Do another take? Now I only ask that like once or twice instead of 50 times. I want to do a good job.
Work ethic. You got it.
Yeah, I'm just a simple Midwestern boy.
You seem like you're kind of down to try whatever, and successful or otherwise. I would love to know, what is the most daredevil thing you've ever tried as a youth?
As a youth? I don't know. I think probably to the age of 18. Honestly, I think probably the more daredevil, dangerous things I've done in my adult life. I think during my youth or whatever, I was probably more inclined to, I mean, you know, setting shit on fire, did stuff like that. I think everyone did. Probably.
I didn't set enough stuff on fire.
Yeah, I have regrets.
Like, I wish I could go back
set
and
more fires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yeah.
Our little brother lit pumpkins on fire with his friends one Halloween putting gasoline in squirt guns.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
He was a Boy Scout, man.
He was a Boy Scout.
Trouble.
There you go. Well, there you have it.
It all connects.
Exactly. I think, like, when I was a kid, I was probably more, I mean, maybe my family would tell you otherwise, but I think I, as far as, like, genuinely dangerous things, I think my thinking until I was an adult was, like, just kind of be stealth about things and make sure you can do the stuff you actually want to do and not fuck it up by doing really stupid stuff.
Oh, so you flew under the radar until you were older, and then you're like, fuck it, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, you know, like, as an adult, like, I'll do things like, you know, I went to Northern Mexico and went and performed in a prison. And the men's prison had been like the cartel had murdered the warden and taken over the prison.
Okay, so then you were like, this is the choice for me. I need to go to there.
Well, I had done stand up at Sing Sing prison a couple times.
Holy shit,
and that was an amazing, really powerful, very positive experience. And then a guy, you know, that I knew from college, not a fellow student, but who worked at the school. I went to Fordham University, and he's from Brooklyn. This guy, Bob Coogan, became a priest and wound up a chaplain in this prison in northern Mexico.
Dang.
New York Times Magazine did a story on him. And I was like, holy shit, that's my friend Bob. I haven't talked to him in years. And I got in touch. And so the story was basically like, how fucked up is it that this guy from Brooklyn is a priest in this prison that the cartel's running?
Oh my God.
You know, it's like Thunderdome insanity. And the outside of the prison is run by the government. Basically, the Mexican government was like, to the cartel, sounds like you guys got this covered.
Oh my God.
You know, we'll just be outside if you need anything. So...
Thunderdome. I just pictured that the minute you said it. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. Oh my God.
You know, he stayed working as the chaplain at the prison. So I had such a great time at Sing Sing that I thought, well, this sounds way more intense than that.
Let's double down on the prison date.
Yeah, yeah. And just the, you know, the reality of, unfortunately, not any of us, but I'm talking about awful people, will say shit about Mexico and this and that. But, you know, it's really the cartels that are causing the trouble, not the regular citizens.
Yeah, people flee here to get away from the crazy shit that's happening there because they want better than cartel life.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same stigma of, like, in the past, if you went to, like, the East Coast and you were in New York, and people would be like, oh, those damn Italians.
Oh, those,
you know?
Thugs. And
you're like,
what?
No.
Yeah,
That's not what it is. My friend's known as the shit. Fuck off, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the this part of Mexico is very dangerous. So I guess in that way, that's my really long answer. That would be something that I would say was maybe more potentially dangerous than anything I did as a kid. I mean, kid, you know, kind of just do things where you might get maimed and things like that. Right.
Like take a risk and break your arm or your friend's arm. Yeah. You know.
But weirdly, yeah, I've never broke, knock on wood, I guess.
Ooh, yeah, you better.
I never have broken an arm. I was maimed though, not to brag.
Not to brag. Do tell.
Yes, please.
Yes.
You buried the lead on that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of a sad story, but...
Okay, go on.
I'll put sad music in behind it if you prefer.
Perfect.
We had a dog, beautiful golden retriever, when I was a kid, and I went to kiss him on the snout. This is like literally like let sleeping dogs lie.
Did he rip your face open and you had to be put in a baby straitjacket and have stitches put in your face?
That happened to yes, Bonnie. Exactly.
That's my story. Exactly. You and I are twins.
Face twins.
They didn't put me in a straitjacket.
They put Bonnie in a straitjacket.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Oh my.
If I pointed it out to you, you'd be like, oh, there it is.
Will you send me your scar later and I'll send you my scar? It used to be across my whole face. I like grew into my face.
I had that sort of just stitch it up and we'll get out of here. And my mom, you know, was like, oh, we need to get this properly fixed or you're going to look like a thug your whole life.
Like my baby.
Right. Chick stick scars. Yeah. But your mom's like, I just really want him to look professional someday.
You don't
want to
Quasimodo that situation.
That's some maternal foresight right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she made sure that I got the fancy lad treatment for my fancy face. Lad.
You got those fancy inside out stitches where like it heals all properly.
Yeah.
Like.
I got a straight jacket.
Bonnie got strapped down like she was at the vet and they just went to town.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure Bonnie was a like savage two, getting stitches,
no,
though.
Like 3 years old. Yeah. I was like toddler.
Yeah,
so
you were,
I think
you
I just
like
didn't understand the situation
three.
Of like, why my face was hanging off of my face.
You're so
oh,
mad
yeah.
at the dog.
I was 11, so I was, you know, I was a bit more.
Still. That's
more
sucks.
Worldly.
When's the last time you kissed a dog on the snout?
This morning.
Shit. This morning. This morning. I only boop snouts now.
Yeah, Bonnie's a booper, not a smoocher nowadays.
No, I have trust issues.
I learned nothing, really. but, you know, it's kind of, you know, you got to know the dog. And my current sweetie, I know her. And she just doesn't startle in that
She'd
way.
Never
so
never Cujo your face. That's so nice.
No. Oh. I kiss her on the snout all the time.
Oh, that story, like as you were telling it, Bonnie and I locked eyes and we both gasped so deeply because we were like, that's your story. That's so crazy.
You just
so
told
similar.
Me my own trauma.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And now we're
shared trauma
friendship
friends.
Soulmates.
Oh, like, good, good.
Oh, you remember yours, though. I have this, like, dark spot in the back of my mind.
Because of toddlerness?
Yes. Probably. And that dog, whenever my parents told me the story back, the hardest part of that story wasn't, like, my dad was crying and he was, like, a tough-ass guy. It wasn't that I didn't understand what was happening and I kept putting my little baby hands to my face to feel flesh torn off.
Oh, God.
It wasn't any of that.
Oh, my
it was the
gosh.
Fact that after all this happened, that dog was put down.
Oh. No.
And I was like, I kissed a dog and it was the kiss of death.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Mine too.
Yeah.
So
shit.
The exact same thing. I felt horrible about that.
Like guilt on top of a wound.
But now I want to make shirts and patches that say Kiss of Death Club.
Oh.
Just pass them out to everyone who's kissed a snoot and got bitten and that dog died.
Let's do it.
Dude,
do
I like it.
There's more of us out there. Listen, listeners. If you know someone who has kissed a dog.
Yeah. And they bit your fucking face.
Bit your face off.
Yeah.
And then that dog had to be put down because they were too violent.
Make that
Hit
patch.
Us up, man.
And I'll put it on my Dave shirt that I ordered that will be here eventually. Oh, and then
she got a Dave shirt.
Hell
I'm
yeah,
very
I
excited.
Did.
Which, wait, what shirt did you get?
The one that you posted that's like, it was a pre-order and it's a...
Oh, the Dead Kennedys one.
Yes.
Nice.
I love the design on the front of that. If you know, you know kind of shirt.
Yeah. This guy has a company called King Screen and he's like, oh, I want to send you some shirts. And he sent me a couple shirts and that was one of them. He just went ahead and made it. And then, so I posted it as you saw and people were like, I want that shirt. So I wrote him and I was like, people want this shirt.
That's
yeah,
every merch designer's dream.
Out. Right. Do you get proceeds from that shirt or did I just pay a guy for your shirt?
No,
you
I
get money from that.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
You know, I run a tighter operation than that. I don't just let people run around making Dave Hill shirts.
Just all willy nilly.
All willy nilly and buying mansions with the money.
I know, just throwing gold coins out the door. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
On to a more lighthearted, frivolous question. than Dog Face Bite. Kissing but I like Death that, Club. Right? If you could switch places with anyone for just 24 hours, who would it be and why?
Oh, I love this question.
Me too. We haven't done it in a long time. Also, second part of this, they don't have to be you. You could pick anyone, not worrying if they are in turn fucking your life up. That's the other caveat.
So. And you would just be like an autopilot.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You'd just be doing normal Dave daily motions.
It's not Freaky Friday.
Smooching dogs. No. Right, right. They don't get to be you. You get to be them.
Gosh, that's a hard one.
It probably changes daily because mine changes anyway. But
can't think of anyone specifically, like maybe just someone who does something cool, like dives with sharks or...
Ooh. Cool.
Like looks at sea creatures. I think that'd be fun.
Or someone who's already in space as an astronaut, so you wouldn't have to do the journey.
Oh my god!
Do all that. You just are floating for 24 hours.
Shit.
God.
Yeah, or I'd be into the journey.
I don't want the whole to do. I just want the experience for about a day.
Consciously, I always say that my friend Jason Narduzzi, he has a great band, Split Single, his own band, and he plays bass in Superchunk as well. But he's also bass player for Bob Mould Band, and I'm a huge Bob Mould fan, you know, Husker Du and Sugar and all that. Mm-hmm. And I always say to Jason sincerely, like, he's the only person I'm jealous of on earth, because I think it would be really fun to play bass with Bob Mould.
You have such realistic aspirations. I love this.
He's the only like actual person that I could name that I'd be like, oh, I want to trade with him. But the rest of it would be just someone who works at a goat farm or something, you know?
That's cool.
Because anything with animals, if you have a lot of animal access, I'm jealous. But other than that,
it's all jealousy things filling your cup.
Maybe someone who just lives in the south of France. And I can just
lavender
hang out.
Farm, cheese, yeah. Fromage.
Right, teleport vacation. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, just someone who has nice access to nice cheese and wine and stuff.
They come back and their cellar's empty and they're like, what?
What happened?
I can't remember yesterday.
It's so weird. I felt like Dave Hill all day. It was so strange. I don't know.
I took my bike around the south of France and I pointed out all the cool things in town.
Found some France townie punks.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't know. Maybe it would be like cool to be Kirk Hammett from Metallica for a day or something.
Right?
I don't know.
Right. I met him.
Stuff I think of.
Oh, I met him on accident, and I was real drunk, and I said, "You guys are so good, but like it's crazy because you're so old."
Oh,
and then my friend, who was a tour manager for the other band that opened for them, was like, "Here, come over here."
Oh my gosh. You hit it out of the park, out of like the worst thing to say.
He just like laughed in my face, but I was like, you're still so good. You guys are so tight. How are you so tight? And you're so old.
They're not that. I mean,
no, but also I was like 20 something and
right.
Oh,
just cocky as
they
hell.
Must have
I was wearing a turtleneck. Like, I'm not a groupie. It was like not backstage, like hoeing it up for Metallica. I like wore a mock turtleneck with a jacket over it.
She
and
just
like
ended up at their show and was just like, oh my God, hi. Weird moment happening. Ready go.
So I got to watch him from the side of the stage.
Oh, that's
and was like,
amazing.
Dude, freshman Bond would have been stoked.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah, something like that. Or I don't know. I just play guitar in some sweet band where I get to rock out in front of 20,000 people.
Right? Like
really
stadium
fun.
Style. And you just like are rocking out and then you do like the fingers at the crowd and then they just like sing all the words in your face. I feel like if you could bottle that for the general public, everyone would just be dosing.
I sing in bands. My preference is to just be the guy on the side playing guitar, pointing
jamming out
at people, because it's just more, you can just kind of observe things. It's not as, it's like a little easier.
Yeah.
And I played in bands like in my 20s, my first band, worst band name ever, Sons of Elvis. We had one album.
That's the worst. That's awesome.
It could be the best. It's the best or the worst. But you know, we had like one album and video on MTV and stuff in the 90s. And the 90s was a peak period for like big outdoor radio fests where we would do these festivals with like Bush and Alanis Morissette and so you play for everyone that came out to see Bush or whatever. You know, when I was whatever, like 24, you know, you would play for 20,000 people. So I have experienced it and it's pretty cool to do that. So to do that and have them actually just fully be there to see you.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is what happens with Metallica, I'm guessing.
Everyone's wearing your shirt right. to the show.
I think that would be really fun. Now I can name 70 million bands that would be fun to be in for a night.
I love it. We just said people and you went musical, which is fantastic.
That. That's why I love that question.
I would love to know more about your music brain when you first started playing, because you totally shred. Like, you play guitar and you post videos all the time of you just like, to you it'd be like noodling, to me it'd be like 3 years of courses, and I like would fucking fumble through that shit. Mm-hmm. Our dad was a musician. Yeah. He tried to teach me guitar so many times that I do not play guitar. Right. I willingly was mm-hmm. like, I love you too much, father. I must go.
We're looking at guitars in the corner that have dust on
the
pieces.
We both have guitars all over.
We have instruments. Can't do a lick.
Can't do it. Our brothers can play by ear.
Yeah.
And they picked it up really fast. And I think I'm just like musically dyslexic.
It's intimidating. Like
I know melody. I can play other instruments, but guitar was too, I don't know. So when I see someone like you just like wheel wheel wheel, like going crazy and feeling the jam, I'm like, oh, he's just so talented. When did you start playing music, and can you think of like a pivotal song that you played over and over again where you like imagined yourself in that band?
I started playing piano when I was eight. I wanted to play guitar because when you're a kid you wanted to rock out. So like, you know, my dad basically, he wanted me to prove that I was really into music by suffering through piano for 3 years first.
You could take it seriously and like learn the fundamentals.
Yeah. So I had to take piano lessons for 3 years before I was allowed to take guitar lessons. My favorite band always has been Led Zeppelin.
Oh, dope.
Despite the fact that, you know, I like to think that I have wide ranging musical tastes, I pick like one of the most obvious bands that would be a person's favorite.
It's classic.
I've been obsessed with them since I was 7 years old, and my dad brought home Led Zeppelin 4, and I was just, ever since then, I've just been fully obsessed. And when I started playing guitar, I wanted to learn Led Zeppelin, and I learned how to play Stairway to Heaven, mm-hmm. and was young enough that like I didn't realize like what an obvious thing I was doing.
Until you saw it on Wayne's World and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, this is pre Wayne's
right,
World.
Right, exactly.
I learned it all in 1 week from sheet music, damn. Not even like tablature. I learned like actually reading the music because I was so determined. And then I kind of felt like, cool, I can do this.
Dude. And for those listeners who don't know Stairway to Heaven,
how
first
dare
of
you?
Shame, pause yeah. this podcast, go listen to yeah. it. But it is like
yes.
the world's longest song.
It really is, but it's so fucking
it's
beautiful.
It's so good. And I got called out in high school because I was in like the dance committees and I was like friends with the DJ we hired for the school because I'm a nerd. But mm-hmm. I would request that song all the time for a slow dance because
it's
you
so
got
nice.
The most FaceTime with your crush if you could just press your body to
oh,
your
yeah.
body for Stairway to Heaven. It went on forever, but then I had friends that would like get asked by like dudes they didn't like, or like the stinky guy, no offense stinky guy, but no one wants to Stairway to Heaven with you.
True.
The stinky guy factor made my friends come up to me and go, you have got to stop requesting Stairway to Heaven, we hate you, and now we hate this song. And I was like,
with the stinky guy,
yeah, they're, oh, you know, God. Like they get asked by someone random and they'd get stuck in this moment,
like,
but then the
you.
Moment never ended because it's so long, but it's so beautiful,
so
and I'm
good.
Over here like just lost in a magical moment of my own creation.
Bonnie's
you know
rom-com,
I'm twirling around movie. Cinderella style and my friends are just all like eye daggering me.
Oh, yeah. It's a stone cold jam.
It is so good. What a good song. Do you remember the first time that you hugged a gal close during a slow dance season?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still not sure if I have.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, not as a kid. I know I was always terrified.
Mm.
Terrified and felt repellent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I felt that way into my 30s, probably. Thought I was completely undesirable to any living thing.
Oh my God. I will say you're not the first comedian that has told yeah. us that. That's the weirdest thing like, is that
pain
that's
makes
like,
the funny people.
Right. Misery is best served.
I would
funny.
Have danced with you. I would have really? Asked you to dance. Especially if you had like a long shaggy haircut and maybe
sweet
a skateboard in your locker, I would have been like,
right.
A Dave kid.
I could picture him rolling in like a funny tux for comedic purposes.
Yeah.
Just to be silly.
Oh, like a cummerbund shirt?
I did that in college. We all did that.
Nice.
But I regret it.
You regret it. No regrets, Dave. Every lesson learned is a lesson learned. Sage advice from Jesus.
This is true. I don't know. Like, I'm honestly against the slow dance as a concept.
Really? You don't like just like
awkward
standing
swing?
On one foot, then the other foot
you
while
go in
being
a mild
next to another
circle,
human.
Just a little.
No,
bit.
I because I think like
it's a lot of pressure.
I think like that's meant for feeling that way, like close and intimate and what romantic or whatever. I don't want to do it on a dance floor.
You should be married
especially,
first.
Especially
you
not.
Should be married. You should be married in the eyes of the Lord. No, no. I think when it comes to dancing, I want to dance around. I don't want to slow dance.
I want to see your dancing.
I was going to say, I'm trying to picture.
Are there videos online
like
of you just yes. like busting it?
There might be. I'm not a big dancer.
You're more of a rocker.
He's a small
that.
Dancer.
Aww. Like I will reluctantly dance. I think...
Reluctantly dancing.
And this is a flaw. Like, I think I can only dance in, like, a silly way. I don't think I can really enjoy... I think I can only dance like an idiot, like, joking around.
You can only make chihuahuas dance June 7th, 2000.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. Did you Google? Fucking A.
Dave Hill Dances comes up with Dave Hill Chihuahua Dance.
Yeah, that was an early career move.
Do you love being Googleable? So because I was like, I turned to my husband this morning after revisiting your Wikipedia for fun talking points. And I was like, I want a Wikipedia. And he goes, no, you don't. And I was like, no, I don't. But that's just fun to say. I want a Wikipedia. You learn a lot about
No, I mean, I think more and more in this world, like if I had a do-over... I think it's probably too late, I guess. Not that I'm some international... I mean, I am an international superstar, let's be clear.
Yeah, obviously.
But no, I think like my impulse now, if I had a do-over, would be to not be in view of people in any way. I think like...
Says the comedian. How
you'd
dare
be like,
you?
You'd read audiobooks.
Oh,
you'd be the voice
only?
Of audiobooks.
No, like cartoons. I say that... I think I would just do visual art and play guitar. I would not speak or write a single word.
So
because
but you're such a good writer. I don't like that.
Oh,
I'm
thank
glad
you.
You can't do a do-over, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late. I was on the phone with my editor for an hour this morning.
Oh.
Plotting out my next book.
Nice.
It's too late. That was my subtle way of bragging that I'm working on.
No, I love that. Hell yeah. Brag about all
the
things.
We want you to promote all
Absolutely.
The things.
Oh, thank you.
To step away from the self-deprecation of Dave.
Be like
and say,
Lion.
I'm a boss. And right now, I just want to let the people know that when you do Google Dave on YouTube, these are my favorite headlines so far. Dave Hill, nipple slip. The king of metal. Tasteful nudes is what it's titled.
See, it's clickbait,
there's so
y'all.
Many good ones. Yes, you
it.
Are clickbait. And I'm super in love with it. Those are not like the top ones. Those are just like
her favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's genius.
I will say this does lead strangely into my last question. I know from deep research, but also just from gently stalking you on social media over the last year or so.
That's what deep research means.
Right. No, but also Wikipedia.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wikipedia is the only research I ever do about anything.
It's pretty serious book work, yeah. But people may or may not know that you are super chill, very kind dude. You do have a humanitarian side.
Thank you.
Have you ever done a good deed that has gone sideways, though?
It's gone. I can't think of anything. I'm sure... I don't know. I mean, this is not answering your question at all, but one thing I would, in this year of reflection that I've had, that we've all had, well, hopefully people have used it to reflect.
Oh,
I think a lot
I'm
of people
so
have.
Reflected, I'm sunburnt.
The thing that occurs to me is like, I think every period of my life, I mean, I've done this throughout my life. I think at any point in my life, when I look back on what I was doing 5 years ago, how I was behaving, what, you know, what I was eating and drinking, I'm always like, I was out of my fucking mind. When I think about like what a typical day and or night would be like 10 years ago, I'm just like, what the fuck? So, and I think like behavior that I thought was sane and reasonable, I'm just like, I was out of my fucking mind. Like the way I dealt with this situation and dealt with this person or, you know, all by way of saying, hopefully I'm getting, improving as a person.
So do you look back and reflect every 5 years and then correct? Because eventually that'll make a full circle.
I think eventually, but I think, yeah, it will. My hope for anything is, I think like, you know, before I die, hopefully I'll be a decent person. And like,
oh, I think you're a decent person now.
Oh, thank you.
You're just blessed with too much hindsight, man.
Ooh,
that's maybe. I don't want, but I'm also trying not to look back. I don't know. Like, you know, we were talking about anything with like comedy or guitar. Like, I think like I'm like hoping to figure out how to do any of those things before I die. Like, I kind of think I'm horrible at all of everything I do. So
that'll be on your obituary. The great man who always thought he sucked at all the things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that's kind of common.
Well, everyone,
I was going to say
if
that.
You think about it, like famous visual artists, like lots of them didn't get the recognition that they should have and they were deeply depressed. Fucking writers and painters like Van Gogh was just a broke crazy piece of shit at the end and just was like, you know,
oh my God,
his mind.
Oscar Wilde. Everybody.
Yes. Dude. Sylvia Plath, like everyone that is a great person that like they build fucking statues and put them in libraries of. Those people thought they were shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one walked around all pompous. And if they did, it was Picasso. And come on, Picasso. We get it.
That's what I wonder about that. Like when that happens, like, I mean, I do believe that, you know, that at the very least, you know, our energy keeps going. But I wonder if like in some way Van Gogh, like after he was gone, the message got to him like, oh, by the way, everyone was super into this.
And he was filled with light and he was fulfilled for the first time ever. And
he could fucking
he
rest
could move
easy.
On.
Jesus. But if you think about it,
plane he's on.
People that shout from the rooftops of how great they are, I don't appreciate that. I don't think it's tasteful or awesome. It's the quiet people that are doing really cool things that I'm like, oh, they barely even talk about how fucking cool they are. I was thinking that about you before we started recording. I was like, Dave's done so much cool shit.
But I feel like you're so humble that you would even poo-poo your own humility.
Oh, totally. That's like the point of this podcast is like, we like talking to people that like don't think that they're the shit, but we like fucking know that they're the shit. That's the whole point.
Hey, Dave, you're the shit.
So much so.
I think you're right, though. I think it's, you know, I was talking with a comedian. I won't say what comedian said this to me, but I was talking to this comedian who's very famous. And they were encouraging me not to mentally abuse myself all the time because, you know, it doesn't really do you any good. And I said, does anyone who doesn't do that? Like, and this comedian was like, only like very successful people. She's like, I don't know anyone good who doesn't do it.
That's a really good point.
She was just like, it's kind of like part of the process of there's maybe no avoiding, but you know.
Mm-mm. I think it's human.
Even like Kanye West, you know, Kanye West will sit and call himself a genius all day, but
at the end of the day, you're getting a divorce, bro.
Right?
Yeah. And I imagine in the quiet of his mind, he doesn't always think that.
Nah, only true narcissists don't think their shit stinks ever. But they're depressed about other things, like not having a cool car or something. Like their depression's different, I think. They don't have the self-deprecating shit, but like, they got their own weird stuff.
Growing up around musicians, comedy and music have such similar aspects to where, you know, you've been in bands. The front man of a band could go out and be like, oh, woohoo, hello, Chicago, blah, 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 you know, rock their faces off. And then as soon as they're done, he's fucking quiet. He's a little depressing to be around. And people come backstage like, I get to meet the singer. And the singer's like, womp, womp. And they're like, oh, just, he's, you know, it's fine. He's just
Well, you've never met David Lee Roth.
Bouncing off the walls.
Clearly.
You know, there are some people that are so introverted that they just put on a performance. So comedy is like the sarcasm, the pain, the life lessons, and it's the culmination of all of that. But that doesn't mean when you step off stage, you're not like, I fucking blew it. That was stupid. Why did I? You
know? Yeah, I'm sure most people are like this. Comedians or performers. Really only it's when it's happening that I enjoy it. The idea of being on stage is repellent to me.
Oh, like the before is a speech in sixth grade that you didn't prepare for. During, you feel really good. And then afterwards, you're like replaying it all and being like, oh, shit, I'm doubting myself.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I can enjoy if something goes well and was fun. I might enjoy it for a few hours and eventually will return to a place of self-loathing.
Oh, so you need your doses. It's mm-hmm. like an addiction then, the high of performing.
Not every time. I hate when people are like, be present. But I think, you know, when performing is a time when I'm consistently present. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I could count on one hand the amount of times I've been performing, you know, with comedy, and the few times I've been in plays, like where I was thinking about something else, like, oh, I forgot to pick up my laundry. Music, you can actually, I think it's a little easier to do that because, you know, you're playing a guitar solo and you're like, oh, I wonder what time the...
Yeah, the muscle memory takes you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a long tour and you're playing the same set list.
You're playing Stairway to Heaven and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I just got all this shit to do when I got home. It's crazy.
Look at all these kids slow dancing. I have time to make my grocery list.
Bunch of whores. Oh,
yeah. But I don't know.
I like the advice. I like getting inside people's brains and kind of hearing how everyone flows different. I have friends in comedy that say when they perform, they just kind of fucking black out.
Yeah.
And then they're like, when I'm done, I'm like, oh, was that good?
Hopefully that went
How was that? They record themselves because they're like, I don't actually know if it's good. I have to replay it later and kind of be like, oh. But then I have friends that are so present that they're feeding off of like the eye smile of like the girl in the second row that they've never met before. Like, but when her eyes crinkled like that, I was like, I'm good.
Nailing it.
I'm really serving it right now. And I'm like, oh that's hella present.
I think I'm probably more like that. When you're really like connected to performing, like the energy in the air, like you can swat at it. It's like a tangible thing. And it's when you're on stage, you can be like, oh, there's something weird going on in this. There's some vibe over here that's this.
You're really good at that because I saw you small venue when you were in Portland, like intimate setting. And you kind of have your finger on the pulse of stuff that's happening in the room, which is really fun.
That's why I refuse to play big venues regularly. It's not out of a lack of popularity.
No, I believe that. But I like you in a smaller setting. Shush. I believe that, goddammit. You like playing your music and doing your guitar things. And it's like, I can't describe it. It's not a full guitar solo set.
Yeah.
And it's not a full strictly only speaking comedy set. It's a medley of the coolest shit. And just you vibing with the audience, telling stories and calling people out on a weird laugh at something. Or you're like, yeah, that was awkward.
Shit.
You're
That's right. me. You would that hate was me. Crowd,
like,
Dave.
No, it's super funny. You like, you go with the flow of stuff. You're like, you're right to laugh. That was terrible. It was just really fun. I can't wait for you to come back to Portland when the world lets that happen.
Oh, me too. That's one of my favorite. I love Portland. I know a lot of people do. I know it's a very popular city.
It's pretty cool. I mean, we're all right.
I really like it. Like, I would almost move there, but I feel like it would be too obvious to do that. It would be too predictable for me to do that. I won't do it.
You kind of feel like a little blob of Portland in another city. You don't have to keep Portland weird. You're just keeping anywhere you are as weird as Portland.
Just come visit and we'll give you a list of all the weird like statues and art. Because Portland's really good about like their creepy art. So like... Mm. I'm sure our town has a bunch of giant bottles for you to ride past on your bike.
Oh, perfect. Portland is like, has all this stuff that I like coffee shops. I like guitar stores. I like food. A lot of people like food, but I like it in a really cool way. No.
There's a lot of toast.
I like it different.
I like toast. I like toast. I like trees. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of the stuff that I like.
Painting strange objects. Like all of it's really your thing.
The only thing is I think maybe it's a little too overcast for my mental state.
We get some clouds right now. It's sunny. I've heard a lot of people say that Cleveland, Chicago, and Portland are all very similar in like vibe and like what the people are into. All kind of are like sisters from another mister.
Maybe like, well, Chicago to me is just super Cleveland. It's just Cleveland.
See?
But more
Cleveland
but
is similar. Just Chicago light.
Yeah,
I like that.
When people from Cleveland, where I'm from, you know, people would be like, I'm going to move to either New York or Chicago. Those would be like the two places like a lot of people move. And it's just like Chicago, you're just going, it's like getting just like more spaghetti or whatever on your plate. It's just more of this. It's just more of the same shit.
I like that.
I'm always like, if you're from Cleveland, you want to move to a big city, just move to New York. Like, quit messing around.
Quit messing. You don't need a baby step.
They fear change.
The lateral move.
Yeah, yeah. Chicago to me is a total lateral move.
Oh, I like that we're diving into your preferences for things and your thoughts and feelings. And we are going to jump into a segment called This or That.
And oh, good.
We're going to go back and forth and give you two options and you rapid fire choose your choice.
One or the other.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll start it off.
Excellent.
Bonfire on the beach or tubing in a river?
God, they both sound horrible. I would say, how long does the tubing have to last?
I don't know. It can be a short jaunt, like four bends.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Okay.
Probably the tubing.
You'd rather be wet than hot?
The fire sounds good, but it sounds like already there's going to be too many people in my taste.
Because it's a bonfire.
Yeah, like if there's
bonfires
just like...
Bonfires are like more than five people at least.
Anything with more than five people I'm not into.
Oh, too much. Awesome. Oh. Oh my God. Okay. Painting or writing?
I would say painting because for me, painting is something personally that I have not ruined for myself.
Okay.
I have fun doing it. I don't think about whether it's good or bad.
No pressure.
Yeah.
I just enjoy doing it.
Like one's fun, one's work.
Work, I mean, writing is fun pretty much. I know it's like cliche or classic thing to talk about how hard and horrible it is. I like it more than I hate it. Yeah, painting is fully just playing and it's fun. I hate myself for even for what I'm about to say, but started painting a lot more in the last year because I spent most of the last year in Ohio. My girlfriend and I were there taking care of her mom. You know, I had space to paint, which is harder to come by here in New York. So I painted a lot and then I was posting the things I was painting and then people were like, would you sell this? So I opened an Etsy store again.
Welcome to the dark side.
I know. Ridiculous. I'm a huge cliche of a human.
No, it's great. You're so Portland, it's not even funny.
No, I know. I know. I opened the Etsy store and the first thing that I sold, I was like, "Oh, that's cool," but then I was like, "Ugh, I've poisoned the well." Because as soon as I did that, I started to go like, oh, well, if it took me this long to do this, I could do this many more and make this amount of money. I started crunching the numbers.
Oh, no. You got the Etsy curse. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're painting for the people and not for the Dave.
I will continue to do it to sell stuff, but I kind of pump the brakes on it, as they say, because I don't like to sit and do something and think about what's going to happen with it or
good.
I don't like to think beyond sitting there and doing it. And I realized as soon as I started selling stuff that I started to think in those terms and I hated that. So anyway, that's my really, these answers are so.
I love it. I love it.
I would punch myself in the face if someone else said what I just said to you.
No, you're great. Burritos or tacos?
That's a simple one. I like that.
It's not really.
Oh, shit.
Or do you prefer the like crunchy taco with like a soft taco outside?
That was my thing is like taco, you know, is getting in. There's so many.
I'm feeling like taco truck. Like if you went to a taco truck and they were like burrito or tacos and it's like the hot, steamy corn stack.
No question.
My mouth just watered.
Yeah, definitely tacos for sure.
Nice.
Though I like a nice burrito. In my experience, if you're making a good taco, like you probably make a good burrito too, and then you can serve me either one, and I don't really care.
You would like a combo plate.
I like that.
I'm a big fan of the combo plate.
Nice. Me too. I'm indecisive, so I like a little something of everything.
Also, like Mexican food is, there are certain foods when I eat it, I'm not looking to be dainty or eat reasonably. I'm looking to stuff my fucking face.
Yeah, you want to be uncomfortable afterwards and maybe release some pressure later.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Like cancel all other plans.
Yeah, right? Come out to a party, Dave, and you're like, I'm sorry, I ate Mexican food earlier.
I made a day of it. I ate
yeah.
I made a day of it. Sorry. I had one plan for this day.
I made a day of it. I won't eat certain foods if I have something important to do. Like last night, were talking about like, should we order dinner? What should we get? And I said, let's play it safe. And I got some barbecue pork I'm going to cut up and put in top ramen because during Dave's interview, I don't want to have to go Taco Bell die.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought of you in my dinner choice last night. Like I was being responsible.
Like as an adult, that's what happens.
Thank you.
Like, you have to think about, do I have a long drive tomorrow?
Yeah. Do I want to shit and die on the side of the road, or do I just want to like be a little hungry when I go to sleep tonight? That's fine.
Yeah, I used to think more like that, and then now I'm kind of like, I'm just going to let it ride.
Well, it's easier when we have very few places to go.
This is true.
I'd rather eat a bunch of burritos and cancel some plans than go do something.
You would rather make a day of it? It's my new
favorite. Or I would rather just not. I don't want to have plans in general. All I really want to do in life is stuff my face. Like, I don't
get it. Same.
I don't really aspire to. Everything else that I do is just something to fill the time
between eating,
in between
really
when I'm
feel this on a
eating and drinking.
This is an important one. Toasted bread by the slice or a bagel? I feel like I know which toasted delicacy you're gonna go for, but
I honestly like a bagel. If it's a good bagel, and this is maybe a controversial answer, being the face of toast,
being the face
you are in North America. Yeah.
I actively use this hashtag too. I like toast.
Good. Bagel. The only reason I don't eat bagels for every day is just because I think it would be hard to fit into my clothes. But otherwise, I would do it twice a day.
I love schmears. I get so like stoked on like a savory schmear. Don't laugh at me. It's a delight.
Have you ever had a fried caper? On top of cream cheese on a bagel.
Oh my God. It's like a crunchy, salty delight. Capers open up like a little flower pod and they're just crispy as hell. They're so good. A crispy salt tossed on top of your bagel. Highly recommend.
I've never had it, but I feel like I can feel it. I get it.
Your salivary glands? Mine's gone. Mine's going
wild. I'm drooling a little bit.
Fully in.
I have a final this or that for you, and I feel like it's very important for me to know specifically what you think, Dave.
Okay.
Would you rather perform for stoners or drunk folks?
Oh, gosh. God, I don't know.
Neither? Is that a thing?
Maybe neither.
No, sober room, I feel like, would be like harder to perform for. I want people that are a little let go.
I would say maybe like a room full of people where everyone has had a couple drinks would be ideal.
Not more than
five. Oh, this is what I was going to say earlier, and I'm totally backtracking way earlier. The thing I was going to say about like feeling the room and stuff is like, and again, punch me in the face for saying this, but as much as I love drinking and probably like it too much, I never drink before I go on stage because I can't feel like the energy in the room as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's why most people drink though. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Oh yeah, yeah.
To be in tune. No,
you're totally right.
Yeah,
there's he's fucking yelling. A comedian friend I talked to before said something about this where he drinks all the time, and he's like, "You might find it hard to believe that I don't drink before I go on stage because then the set becomes all about me and not all about the audience's reactions." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Because then I only care about what I'm saying and I'm not listening to the people in the audience."
Yeah,
that's really smart.
That's totally true. I think.
Yeah, he drinks profusely the minute his feet hit off stage.
Oh, same here.
Right.
I will, as soon as we're done, I will just vodka until I wake up tomorrow. No, just
and then do it all over again. It's fine.
Do it all over.
It's totally good.
Comedian will tell you, like, if you're doing like two shows, the late show is always the drunk show, and it's
no, it's so true.
It can be really annoying, especially if you're like in Scotland or something.
I can totally see that.
Scotland is one of my favorite places on earth.
It's one of the places on our bucket list of places to go because our lineage is from there.
Oh, it's wonderful.
There's a town with our family name there.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I'm sure it's just a pile of rocks because our family did not come from much. That sounds
oh, lovely. Right. It's great. I mean, the people are great. I love Scotland. Like, if I don't move to Portland, I'll move to Glasgow.
Well, I love that. Either way for you, I love that.
You can't lose.
I have a question I'm dying to know. You've been doing your townie punk stuff and your bike ride stuff on Instagram for a little while now. Where the hell did that come from and what inspired you? Because that is some of the funniest shit. If I'm having a bad day, I literally go back and rewatch ones. It's a little shorty, but it's like so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I love that. That was brilliant of you.
Oh, thanks. That just came about because I spent, as I mentioned, most of the last year in this town of like 3,000 people in way northeast Ohio. In like a town also, like there's 3,000 people, but I would never, almost never see anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's like the town that we went to high school in had like 2,000 people, and it was not very concentrated in one spot. It was pretty spread out with a downtown, and everybody outside of town was from out of town. It was a townies.
Yeah, so it was like pretty small, little suburban town, but like kind of way in the middle of nowhere. And I would ride to borrow my girlfriend's brother's bike, and I would just ride it every day just to like try not to lose my mind. Mm-hmm. And as I did it, like I was feeling like self-conscious. I probably look like a dork, as I often think.
Same.
And mm-hmm. then I just kind of started imagining interactions with like imaginary townie punks, like basically imagining that like I had these nemeses around
like
town,
a scrappy even rivalry.
Yeah, it's just something that I started imagining as I rode around, that there were people that were like wanted to fight and stuff, even though literally never ever see anybody.
But that's even funnier because it gives you an open stage to just go be wherever you're at, making nice little comedy snippets.
I like it. So you're the main character in your own 90s movie.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
They're coming out with their leather jackets and being like, you're on our turf. And you're like, I have something to say.
Yeah, totally. Trouble. That's basically it. It's just imagining that. Just the fact that like, I was like, oh, it seems like people, I'm having fun doing it and people mm-hmm. seem to like it. So it sort of egged me on to keep doing it. You know, with all things.
Please, because it's super funny. And I tell people when I'm telling them stuff, if they ask me a question, well, A of all, and then like I answer them and they don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I think I'm pretty funny. So I'm using Dave-isms like all the time. It's pretty great.
Oh, good. That's nice to hear.
And I tell them I'll do questionable things for food, which is also fucking weird and funny, but it's pretty on brand for me. So I'm into it.
Well, I told Shannon we have to have you back just so on the next episode you can say, hey, it's Dave from before.
Yes, well, please. I
would love it.
You're so funny. I love it. And we're going to hop right into our favorite section of the show.
Yes.
And I feel like this is going to sit weird with you just based on how I've learned about you in this session.
Okay.
But it is time for compliments,
yes,
where you get to sit there and listen to these two sisters tell you how fucking wonderful you are.
Indeed.
Oh, there's no rebuttals. You just got to sit in it, in the feeling.
Yeah.
I'll probably hit mute, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
How dare you?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Start it off.
Okay. Number one,
you
when
mean
I.
A
of all.
A of all.
Thank you. Jesus, I missed
how
my mark
you
on that. Oh. When you were here for the comedy festival and I was chaperoning and chauffeuring Uncle Ron around town, he literally sent me over to sit by you. He's like, go sit by Dave. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went and sat by Dave, listened to you talking to other people. And I was like, this guy's a great guy. He's like a nice, fun guy, even after you get off stage, because some comedians, you don't know what their vibe's going to be like when they turn it off mm-hmm. for the stage. And you are approachable and nice and calm and humble and just like witty and fun and observant. You're like making quips about your surroundings. And I just found you very charming.
Oh, thank
and then
you.
When I started following and lurking your social media, I love everything you paint on is awesome. You have so many like facets and things that people don't know if they don't know to look. I find you fascinating and you make me happy and I like your energy that you put off and I just think you're a great person and I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
I'm over here nodding in agreement. I realize like I'm at a microphone, but I'm nodding at her. Like, yeah.
She's like that. Yeah, no, that. Yeah. I just think you're great.
Oh, thank you very much. That's so nice.
And Dave, I've never gotten to meet you.
Yet.
It's overrated.
No. Shush. I hope that one day we get to like super bro hang and I will be that dorky laugh in the crowd that you're like, I wish she didn't show up today. Real talk, she came 2 days in a row and I was like, you don't have to. I have an awful laugh. I've been told by many comedians, like, please stop sitting in the front row. It's a situation.
Like,
however, I think you're so fun in a way that you've got that like, I call it fun gummy bear energy, where I feel like bouncing around. And yes, I get that that's kind of like you're picking and choosing when you want to kind of come out, but you have the charisma behind it. And I feel like you would just be a genuinely fun person to hang out with. You seem super real. Like you just don't put a lot of attention into like fucking painting a fake ass picture for people. And that's the kind of people that I respect and I gravitate towards because I just like genuine folk.
Yeah.
Like you may look back on this in 10 years and regret being on our podcast.
I regret everything.
No, I regret everything.
He's like, I regret it.
Yesterday. But I'm pleased as punch to have you. And I think you are just a little magical piece of energy in this world. And I want you to keep doing all the things, whatever makes you feel good, the people are going to respond to. So if Agreed. You wanted to quit everything and be a full-time Van Gogh
shovel painter,
we will make a statue of you when you pass.
Oh, good. Yeah. I might do that.
Okay. I might we'll do see. That. We'll just quit it all and start a new avenue. Whatever you do, the people will support you because you put genuine energy into the world.
Oh, thank you.
And I appreciate you for sharing it.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice.
You're nice. I'm so excited for my fucking shirt.
You are
That's
that.
The other thing. I'm so excited for that shirt.
I'm so excited for my shirt.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is if you did hang out with me for as my girlfriend or anyone who spends a lot of time with me will tell you, eventually it turns a corner and it's an absolute nightmare to spend time
Dude.
With me.
Fully relatable.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Like, if our families all talked to each other, they'd be like, they're just a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dave, you talked about you were working on your next book. Do you have anything right now you want to promote? You want to tell people where to get these fine-ass shirts? Do you want to tell people where your Etsy shop is? How can they find you?
I would say the two, you could go to my website or my Instagram and find out various exploits, but davehillonline.com is my website and my Instagram is at Mr. Dave Hill, at Mr. Dave Hill. As far as like current thing, like I have a movie coming out that I'm in called Drunk Bus.
I saw the trailer. It looks really good. I'm so excited.
Starring Charlie Tahan. He's on Ozark.
Yeah.
And Pineapple Tangaroa. And Will Forte is in. And so I'm in that movie and I'm really excited about that. And that comes out in limited theaters and on, you know, Amazon and all the different things like that on May 21st.
That's so exciting.
And I have a guest starring role on a new show on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming thing, called the show's Girls Five Eva, and it stars Busy Phillips, Paula Pell, and some other fine folks.
That show looks freaking amazing, too. It's like a girl group revisited.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so great. I'm on, I think it's technically called a guest starring role, though it, I mean, I'd make it sound like I'm on the Love Boat or something. But I'm on that show for an episode. I'm excited about that. And podcast, the Dave Hill Good Time Hour.
Yes.
And then I'm launching a clothing line.
Nice.
I started painting the things as you were talking about. And then a lot of it is these like floral patterns. And it occurred to me that it would look cool on clothes or fabric or whatever. And because it's literally me and my friend Corey. I talked to Corey and she works in fashion. I said, I think this would be cool on dresses. And she was like, totally. So it's just the two of us. So we're starting with just three dresses.
Ooh.
And you go to the bunnyshops.com. It's called Bunny. It's named after my mom.
Oh, you're so cute. That's so exciting.
It's a total fun thing. I don't know anything about fashion industry.
You know a lot about making flowers, though. You're part of that team. That's rad.
I know clothes that I like, and I know how to make flowers.
Dude, Dave, you do everything.
Well, that's just kind of like a fun, weird
side gig.
I mean, it's not even a gig yet because I haven't made any money. We'll see.
Passion project. Another
it's
thing.
It's just fun.
I love hate to say.
It's just creatively a fun thing to do. And hopefully it'll grow and thrive.
So excited.
I love this. Dresses and Drunk Bus. I'm gearing up.
Right? Put your dress on.
Get a dress. Watch Drunk Bus.
I feel like that's
the perfect evening.
That's your new commercial. Oh, I like this.
Well, Dave, you are wonderful. And seriously, we really appreciate you letting us kind of dig through your memory folds.
This
I think you're
so
just
fun.
Really fun. You're a great interview.
Seriously.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's fantastic. We have comedy crushes on you. And hopefully you get to come to Portland soon.
Yes, please.
And we want you to take care of yourself and your mental health. And just go look in the goddamn mirror right now, Dave, and say, you're awesome now and you were fine 10 years ago.
Good point.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. And please, I hope I get to Portland. I'm on the next plane.
Yay!
Or maybe the plane after that.
We will be waiting stage exit for you with a cocktail.
That's good.
We'll make a day of it.
We'll make a day of it.
Oh, I love shit. It.
We love you. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing you again. This has been a really fun day.
Oh, thanks
a
for
fun
having
Dave or a fun day.
I said day, but I mean it really
has been a real fun Dave.
Yes. I love it.
Bye, Dave.
Bye, Dave.
All right. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, hey, Bon, if somebody wanted to hang out with us, talk to us, where can they find us?
Well, we're at your house right now in your basement.
Right, but like on the onlines.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter under the same name, which is
no, you are that.
Oh, right. Don't forget the no. Yeah. Okay. We're also on the Facebook.
We are. And it's just straight up you are that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. We have a page and a group, so you can super participate or just follow along.
Yeah. What if somebody wanted to give us monies?
Well, my Venmo name is.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/ you are that. And yes, they can give us as little as $1 a month. And
that's,
it helps
a lot.
Support the podcast.
Yeah, it does. It funds all of our stuffs. They could also give us high fives on review, rating, and subscribing. Mm-hmm. And maybe
and
some
that's
five stars. Yeah, that's no monies.
Yes. Five stars is freaking fantastic, and we love those. And if you write a little note with it, like, tell us a fun fact about yourself. We also have merch. Do you know where they can find
it? Yeah, you could get things to put on your hot bods at youarethatmerch.com.
And there's also like mugs and shit
and hats,
all
kinds of stuff,
heads, countertops. We have you covered.
Totes.
We have totes.
We do have totes.
That was organic and beautiful.
Oh my God, just like us.
We thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, reviewing, all of the fun things, and participating. We hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are.
Yeah.
You probably regret asking me to do this.
No,
no, I love it.
I forgot what was the question?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.